Galatians chapter 5. You'll find that on page 1172. Does anybody need a church Bible? No, we're all good. Perfect. So, starting at verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Becky. Good morning, everybody. Anyone else struggling with hay fever today? Yesterday? Yeah, I thought I was going to have to bail out on preaching this morning because my eyes and nose and everything last night was crazy. Anyway, we're good today, so let's pray. And let's ask God's help as we think about Galatians chapter 5 together. And particularly this morning, we're thinking about the fruit of the Spirit is love. Come on, we can do a bit better than that. 1, 2, 3. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Wonderful. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, we are so thankful this morning for the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit. Please would you teach us more about his work, about his power, about the things that he does within our lives. And we ask this, please, for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to start our sermon this morning with a game of musical chairs. Now, don't worry, we're not all getting involved. Everyone's looking a bit panicky all the ground. It's like, no way, this is my chair. I've been sitting here for ages. But we're not doing musical chairs, so I need 2 volunteers. Okay, yes, you 2, perfect. You look absolutely competitive, and that is exactly what I'd love. So we're going to bring you guys up here. Now, anyone here like playing musical chairs? Grown-ups, did you like playing musical chairs as a child? Yeah, a few of you did. Do you remember that dreaded moment when it came down, if you ever got there, of being the last 2 people in musical chairs? Have you ever been there? And you got 1 chair, and the music's playing, and you fight for first place. You ever had that? I know you guys are good friends, but we'll see. Now, please don't take this personally. Okay, we're going to play a game of musical chairs, and I'm going to label one of you love. Okay, so there we go. Can put that on. Can you say good morning, love? They got you there. And sorry, Ellen, this is not personal because you are an absolutely wonderful little girl. But you're going to be hate this morning. Say good morning, hate. She is not a hateful person. But do you mind being that for me this morning? There we go. Okay. So now we've got some music, and you guys are going to circle the chair. And when the music stops, you know what to do?
Sit on it.
Yes, one of you has to sit on it, okay? Right then, you ready? Let's clap them on, let's go. Here we go, let's have some music. Oh, that's good, very good. Okay, do you want to play again?
Yeah.
Play again, okay, we'll go for one more. Let's have it. You're being very gentle with each other, but I know it's because people are watching. So let's go. Let's go again. Oh, well done. Let's give the guys a round of applause. All right, you guys stand here. Now, if you come both sides. Now, What have we just watched? You could say we've watched a game of musical chairs. But what we have watched this morning is love and hate fighting for first place. Now, wonderfully, love won twice, which I was hoping wouldn't quite happen, but there you go. Doesn't help my sermon this morning, but here we go. That's what happens, isn't it? This, what we've just watched, is a picture, isn't it, boys and girls and grown-ups, of what goes on in our hearts as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, there is a war, a conflict, a game of musical chairs in our hearts between love and between hate. There's a conflict going on. Guys, thank you very much. Just say thanks to these guys. You can keep your badges for a second. And I wonder this morning, can any of you relate to that? Can any of you relate to that tussle that goes on in your heart every day between love and between hate? Two words that appeared in our Bible reading this morning. The word love is the word, the Greek word agape. And that means to deeply care for someone, to be really concerned about someone, to really have an interest in somebody, to deeply be concerned for them. The word hate is the opposite. It means to push someone away. It means to not have any care for them. It means to be at enmity with them, be their enemy. And there's this battle that rages within us between love and hate, fighting for first place in our life as disciples of Jesus. So for example, think of Geraldine. Here's Geraldine. Geraldine's in year 5 at school. And Geraldine has someone in her year who wasn't very nice to her. And one day she gets put in the same maths group. The teacher puts her with this girl who hasn't been very nice to her. And Geraldine, who's a follower of Jesus, suddenly has this game of musical chairs going on in her heart between love and hate. Is she going to be concerned for her and kind to her and look out for her? Or is she going to hate her and be horrible and mean and keep her away? Or think about Stephen. Stephen comes to church and some people in the youth group weren't very kind to him. And they're still not very kind to him sometimes. And he's got this war that rages within his heart. He's upset about it, and he's sad, and he doesn't really like the people who aren't very kind to him, but there's a war that rages between love and hate, between being concerned and gentle and interested in somebody and keeping them away, pushing them away and saying, well, I'll have nothing to do with them. Can you relate to that war that goes on in the life of a believer? The war between love and hate, the game of musical chairs that goes on in our lives. And if you can relate to that this morning, then I want to encourage you that that is a good sign that you have that war going on inside you. Because that is a work of God. If you have any tussle in your heart between love and hate on a daily basis, it shows that God is at work in you. That the Holy Spirit is at work in you. The flesh, the old self, that loves to hate. I've used the two words together there, but you know what I mean. It is hate, whereas the Spirit wants us to love. And this morning we're going to be thinking about that, this war between love and hate. And if you feel that battle, I want to encourage you that that's the normal part of the Christian life. That is God at work in us. But the question is, boys and girls, if our life is like a tree, how do we grow more love in our lives and less hate? How do we become people who have far more love growing on the tree of our life and less hate? See, the world thinks love is a good thing too, doesn't it? Our country creates rules to make sure that we're concerned for each other and caring for each other, but those rules don't always seem to work. The Beatles. Anyone, the kids, you know who the Beatles are? Yeah. Grown-ups, you remember the Beatles? They sang, "All you need is love." Wonderful. That's beautiful. That is a golden moment right there. But what did they think? They said, well, listen, if there's love, everything's going to be all right. So people have a high view of love and love making things okay. But how do we become more loving people, people who are genuinely concerned for others, have an affection for others, put others before ourselves? How does that happen? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't happen with laws. Okay, I'm not going to put some laws on you this morning because I could sit here and say, well, just love each other a bit more, would you, and let's go home. That wouldn't work, would it?
All laws do is show us the problem that exists in our hearts. What we need is some help insight, some help to love like God wants us to love, don't we? And so here's how we're going to grow. This is what we're going to learn this morning. Just one big thing, and we'll break it down this morning. We are going to learn this. This is how we grow more love. The Holy Spirit helps those loved by Jesus to love like Jesus. Okay, can we say that together? The Holy Spirit helps those loved by Jesus to love like Jesus. That's the actions we're going to have today, okay? Let's do it one more time. The Holy Spirit helps those loved by Jesus to love like Jesus. And to simplify that even further, we're just going to learn two words this morning, which I hope as you take these words out into the week will help you to remember how we as a church, how those of us who follow the Lord Jesus can become more loving. And here it is, okay? Here's the first word, loved. Let's say that together. One, two, three. Second word is love. Love. Okay, two words, loved, and we're going to go in. So loved, and then we're going to go love. Okay, one, two, three. Loved, love. And if you can remember those words this week, then that will help you to remember how we become more loving people. What is the answer to us being more loving? So let's work at that first word. The first word is
love.
Wonderful. You are alive. I know it's a hot morning, but you're doing well. The Holy Spirit helps those of us who are loved by Jesus. Now, do you have somebody who loves you? Some of you might be thinking, no. Some of you, why are you shaking your heads? I'm sure you have someone who loves you. Do you have someone who loves you? Yeah.
Mommy and
Daddy love you. Great. Anyone else have someone who loves them?
Everybody
loves you. Well, you are very lovable. That is very true. That is absolutely true. I guess all of us will have somebody that we know who loves us. And it's a very sad thing if we think that nobody loves us. But all of us will have someone who cares for us, is concerned for us, puts us first. And how do you know that somebody loves you? Boys and girls, how do you know that somebody loves you?
Because they
care for you. Wonderful. So they look after you. They might tell you that they love you, mightn't they? Any other ways? They're kind to you. Yeah. Any other ways that you might know somebody loves you? These are all good answers, right answers. They love you, yeah. They love you, and they put you first, and they care for you. So they might pick you up when you've fallen over, and they might clean up your knees if they're bleeding, or if you've not been very well, they might kind of give you a hug and say, it's going to be okay. That's the sort of way we know that people love us. But how do we know that God loves us? Do you know that Jesus loves you? Could you sit here this morning and say, Jesus loves me? Could you say that with confidence? Yeah, well done. Jesus does love you. And the reason that you can say that with confidence this morning, whether you're young or whether you're a bit older today, is because the Bible tells us that Jesus loves us. And love doesn't mean, you know, love's one of those words when you're at primary school that's a little bit like, ooh, they love each other, and it's all a bit embarrassing, and it's all about kissy, kissy, chocolate, chocolates. Ooh. But love, that's not the love we're talking about this morning. Love is a deep concern for somebody, to care about somebody, to really feel affection for them. And the Bible tells us that as Christians, we are loved. We have been loved by Jesus. Let me just find my clicker quickly. This is a verse from the Bible. It says this. The Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And what does it say? Who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul knew that he was loved by Jesus. He describes Jesus as the Son of God who loved me. He knew that personally. He knew that Jesus cared about him and was interested in him and put him first. He knew that he was, can we say this together? He knew that he was loved. And how does Jesus show that he loves us? Well, I want to show us from Galatians this morning that there's two ways Jesus showed he loved us. The first way is this. Jesus gave himself for us. So let me show you this picture here. This is a friend of mine. This is Pete. Pete there, he's in a hospital chair. Now, Pete has a brother, a younger brother, called Chris. And this is a good friend of mine. And Chris, his younger brother, got very, very, very sick. And he was so sick that he nearly died. And Pete loved his brother so much. He was so concerned for his brother that what he did was he gave part of himself, part of his own body, to save his brother. That's what's happening here. He's having a bone marrow transplant to save his younger brother, Chris. And so Pete, in his love for his brother, Chris, literally gave something of himself to save his brother. And here's his brother, Chris, with him, very, very grateful for what his brother did. Pete gave himself to save his brother, Chris. And that's just a very small picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. See, look again at these words. The Apostle Paul tells us that the Son of God loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus laid down his life for us. He didn't just give a little bit of his life, his bone marrow for us. He laid down his whole life for us as he died on a cross for us. That's how much Jesus loved us. And Paul knew that Jesus had loved him. And we as Christians can know that Jesus has loved us, that he gave his life for us. Now, why did he need to do that? Well, 1 John tells us this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You want to know what love is? It's not boxes of chocolates. It's not flowers, although they are loving things sometimes. Real love, the biggest display of love, is Jesus giving his life for us. But why did Jesus need to give his life for us? Well, the Galatians tells us that he gave himself to rescue us from our sins, to rescue us from this present evil age. Our sins mean that we're in big trouble with God. A bit like Pete's younger brother, we're actually very sick and we're in trouble and we're dying. But Jesus gave his life on a cross so that we could be rescued, so that we could be friends with God, so that we could be forgiven, and that we could be with God forever. That's how much Jesus loved us. And the wonderful thing is that I want us to see this morning is that he didn't just give his life for us. He didn't just give himself for us. The second thing Galatians shows us is he loved us so much that he gives himself to us. So he gave himself for us and he gives himself to us. So the wonderful thing about my friend Pete and Chris is that when Chris got better, they were able to be together and they worked together and they were friends together and they got to share life together. And the same is true with the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us so much that he gave his life for us, but now he lives with us. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, let me go on to what's one. He says, I've lost a verse on the screen. Where's it gone? Nope, there it is. It is that one. Sorry, there we go. Look at this verse really carefully, okay? It says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but what does it say? Christ lives in me. Wow. So Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life for us, but now he lives in us. He lives with us by his Holy Spirit. The Lord of love, the Lord who gave himself for us, now lives with us. Jesus loved us. So can we say this first word? We are loved. Loved is the first word. And I want to ask you this morning, are you someone who can say, just like the Apostle Paul did, that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me? Do you know that you're loved by Jesus? And if you are someone who's trusting in Jesus this morning, I want you to know that he does love you. He is concerned for you. He does care for you. He does put you before himself. That's who Jesus is. The Bible tells us that we are loved. And actually, if you don't know that this morning, then I would urge you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, to have faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. that we might be rescued from our trouble with God, our big trouble with God because of our sins. So this morning, can we say first word? We are loved. The Holy Spirit helps those of us who are loved by Jesus. But what does he help us to do? That's the big question, isn't it? What does the Holy Spirit help us to do? Well, he helps us to, second word, love. Okay, the Holy Spirit helps us to love. He helps us to love others like Jesus has loved us. Now listen, I know it's a hot morning, but we're going to do some more exercising this morning, okay? We're going to do some Zumba. Everyone ready for a bit of Zumba? That'll wake some of you up this morning. I don't know how to do Zumba, but I do know have a friend who does. So Sandrine, could you come and help us? Listen, I don't want to see any of you sitting stationary. Sandrine is going to teach us how to do some Zumba, okay? So I'm going to come and join you guys. Sandrine's going to come up here. And we're going to learn how to do some Zumba together. Does anyone know how to do Zumba? Any of you guys know? Yes, you do. Well, you can stand and watch us then there. Or do you want to go and help Sandrine? Yeah, you go and help Sandrine. Yeah. Right then, let's go. Right, everyone on your feet. Let's go. None of that sleepiness. We're going to learn how to do some Zumba together. You ready? Should be some music. Thank you so much. Now, that does have a purpose, right? It wasn't just to wake you up. Okay. Good job. Now, here's a question for you, okay? How did we learn how to do Zumba? How did we learn how to do Zumba? What were you doing? Anyone? Yep. We were dancing, but how were we learning to do it? Did anyone here know how to do it? I didn't know how to do it. So what were we doing? We were copying. Fantastic. Who were we copying? Jordan. Sandrine. That's right. That is what we were doing. We were copying Sandrine. We were all watching, and we were all listening, if you were close enough, to her instructions. Okay, that is what we were doing. That is how we were learning. Now, why did we do that this morning? Well, because here's the really important thing. The Holy Spirit helps us to do exactly what we just did. The Holy Spirit keeps our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we can copy him, and he gives us power to copy him. The Holy Spirit comes and lives with us so that we fix our eyes on Jesus, the Lord of love, and we learn how to follow him. We learn how to love just like him. See, of course, the Holy Spirit, let's have a look here. Oh, sorry, I put these all in the wrong order. I'm very sorry about that. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The Spirit living in us produces love. The evidence that the Spirit lives in us is that he produces love. That means he helps us to copy Jesus, the one who has loved us. And the way that that looks like is this, and hopefully these are in the right orders. What does it look like to love like Jesus? It says this, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh." And this is what it says, "Rather, serve one another humbly in love." How do we love like Jesus? What does the Holy Spirit help us to do? He helps us to serve one another. To put others before ourselves, to love others before we love ourselves. Or as it puts it in the very next verse, to love our neighbor as ourself, to treat others how we want to be treated. And the Holy Spirit fixes our eyes on Jesus, the one who loved us like that. He keeps our faith in Jesus. He's the one who helps us to love like Jesus. Now that's gospel, isn't it? We can't save ourselves and we can't change ourselves. But Jesus saves us and then Jesus changes us. And he does it as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And as he reminds us of the words of the Lord Jesus. So like we were watching Sandrine, we were copying her. And like we were listening to her instructions, the Holy Spirit keeps us fixed on Jesus and keeps us listening to Jesus. And as he does that, the fruit of that is that we start to love people more. So think of Geraldine. As Geraldine ends up in that group at school with that person that she doesn't like very much, as the Holy Spirit reminds her of Jesus and causes her to remember the teaching of Jesus, the Spirit produces the fruit of love. Or think of Stephen as he struggles with his friends at church that haven't been very kind to him. As the Holy Spirit keeps his eyes fixed on Jesus, the one who loved him and gave himself for him, and reminds him of Jesus' teaching and words, Stephen starts to produce the fruit of loving others as Jesus has loved him. So friends, how do we grow more love and less hate in our lives? Well, it's here. Can we say this together? The Holy Spirit helps those of us who are loved by Jesus to love like Jesus. And so two words to take into this week. The first word is the word loved. Those of us who are loved by Jesus. The second word is love. We are loved people, and the Holy Spirit helps us to love others like Jesus has loved us. Friends, should we pray? Should we pray for that in our lives this week? And then we're going to sing another song. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the love of Jesus, a love that gave himself for us and that has now given himself to us as he comes to live with us by the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for his powerful work in us to help us to love others in the same way that Jesus has loved us. Holy Spirit, please grow the fruit of Jesus like love in us as a church. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Amen.